This lesson is LBS number 27, and the title of the series that we're on right now is called Parable of the Sower, talking about the parable of the sower that Jesus talked about. And the particular lesson in this series is the first lesson in this series, and it's called The Seed Sown on the Path, or as the King James Version says, the wayside. Praying about this a little bit, I kind of was attracted to the parable of the sower in the Bible, so I don't think we've ever talked about that in our group, so why don't we just talk about that tonight? Why don't we open up to Mark chapter 4, and we'll read that account. Now, there's three different accounts in the Bible, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, about the parable of the sower. And so, on this outline I've handed out, I have all three accounts here. By topic, so that we can get the whole meaning of the whole parable here. But tonight I'd like to just start off by reading Mark's account completely through, and then we'll start talking about it a little bit. So Mark chapter 4, let's see. Mark chapter 4, verse 3 we'll start in. And let's see. Jay, would you like to read for us tonight?
Sure.
To start with you tonight. And just read verse 3 down through verse 9 for right now, okay?
Listen, behold, the sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground, and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear.
Okay, Jesus has just recited a parable here about some seed and sowing and ground and things. And then he winds up by saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So right now, people don't really understand a lot of what he's saying. And so now Jesus goes on and explains. Thank God for the explanation. You know, if he just left us with this, we'd kind of wonder what it was all about. So let's go on now and just read how Jesus explained this. Jay, why don't you just continue to read, start with verse 10 and read down through verse 25. You feel all right with that? All right.
But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked about the parable. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Also he said unto them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, and nor has anything been kept secret but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him.
Okay, so Jesus goes on and explains this parable a little bit. Now, as I said before, this parable that Jay just read is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Pretty much the same thing. There's a little added here and there in different versions, and they're all, of course, the Word of God. Sometimes it's good when things are written in more than one gospel or more than one place to put it all together so you can get the full impact of what the Lord is saying. Because he said all of these things. Just Luke recorded part of it, Mark recorded some of it, and they're almost identical if you read them. But there's a couple little things that one adds that the other one doesn't have. So I thought it'd be good just to look at everything. So what I have here is I have this thing divided up into four types of sowing that's going on here. Did you notice that? There was seed that was sown on the wayside, which means on the path or on the road. There was seed that was sown on a stony place. Then there was seed that was sown among thorns. And then finally there was seed that was sown on good ground. So Jesus is trying to make a point here. And he says that the seed is what? The Word of God. Seed is like, the Word of God is like seed. Okay, he's likening it to seed. And he's contrasting the seed's ability to work with the soil that it goes into. Is that, I think we can see that. All through here, the same seed is being sown. There's no difference in the seed. Jesus didn't make a big point out of, okay, I'm sowing one seed over here by the path, I'm sowing another seed over here by the stony place, I'm sowing another seed over here by... No, the point wasn't the different types of seed. The point was the different types of ground and the effect that the ground, that the seed goes on, how it affects what? How it grows. And then finally, what's the point of sowing seed anyway? To bear fruit. We can't lose sight of the fact that what Jesus is really after here is fruit bearing. Okay? The object of sowing the seed in the first place of the Word of God is to bear fruit. Okay? And so what Jesus is really saying here is seed is sown all the time. When the Word of God goes forth, seed is being sown. Every time the Word of God goes forth, it's like seed goes forth. But that seed doesn't always do what God intended it to do. Okay? Because it depends a lot on the soil. And what God wants with every time the seed goes forth, he wants fruit to come. Fruit to come forth from the seed. That seems so trite to say that, but if we don't keep that in mind, you get kind of lost in here and you start thinking about the ground and the seed and you forget the fact that what we're after here is fruit. That's why the seed goes forth. Whenever we're having a Bible study, whenever we go to church and the word's coming forth, the purpose of that word is to bear fruit. Now, to people that are unsaved, they get salvation word and it bears fruit in salvation for them. You know, and then hopefully they'll bear fruit in the kingdom in other ways once they're saved. But there's all kinds of seed in the word. There's not just seed for salvation. There's seed for healing. There's word seed for healing. There's word seed for your finances. There's word seed for your marriage relationships or relationships of any kind. There's word seed for what to do if you have a temptation to worry. Okay? Word covers all these things. So we're talking here about word in general, but I want you to understand, and I think you do, that there's different kinds of seed that the farmer sows, right? There's corn, there's barley, there's wheat. There's all kinds of different seed, and each one bears fruit after its kind. Okay, but in this particular account, Jesus wasn't making a big deal about the different kinds of seed. We understand there are different kinds. And we'll talk about that a little bit. But he was more concerned with the soil and how that affected the seed. See, the thing is about seed is the seed of the Word of God is always good. So there's no sense dissecting that and saying, how can we make it better? How can we change it? How can we improve upon the seed somehow? The seed is pure, okay? But what we can change is the soil, because that's on our end. Remember last week we were talking about God's part and our part of redemption? How sometimes we're doing the stare down and we don't even realize it. We're waiting on God to do something. He's waiting on us to do something because the ball's in our court. We think God's got the ball. Well, okay, God's part is to provide the seed. And that seed is contained in this thing that we have on our laps here, which is called the Word of God. This is his seed, all right? And this seed can bear fruit in your lives, but it's not automatic. See, it sort of ties in. I'm beginning to realize now as I talk about this that it's tying in what we had last week. Remember, we talked about these things being free. You have a legal right to them, but they're not automatic. We have our part to play. Once again, and I didn't realize this when we started this study, but I can see now that here we are again. God has done his part. He's provided the seed. Now, our part of this equation is to prepare the soil. And there's different things that we can do. Now, it's very instructive for us to go through here and look at the different types of soil and to see what Jesus is really talking about. Why? So that we can see that when we don't make some of these mistakes that were made in the soil preparation not being conducive to the seed's growth. Okay, so this, we want the seed to bear fruit in our lives, right? I mean, the people that are here tonight at the Bible study, I think the reason you're coming is because, well, for a few reasons. We like to get together, we love each other, we have a good time together, but we want to learn from God's Word, okay? And so I think God has something to say about tonight that's going to kind of open our hearts to this. Okay, so let's look here. Let's look at our outlines, and we'll look at first the seed sown on the path or the wayside. It's clear to everybody that when he says wayside, he's talking about kind of a road or a path. And the sower's out sowing the seed, you know, and as he's sowing the seed, it goes in different places. All the ground's not the same. He's throwing the seed out. And some of the seed landed on the road, hard surface, okay? Trodden down, okay? Let's just see about this. So let's read part one here on this parable about seed sown on the path. And we see here we have three accounts, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So let's just read these three accounts and see what we can learn from this, okay? Paul, could you read for us the first three, just the first three down to Jesus' explanation, okay, under the parable, A.
Matthew 13:1.
Yeah, you can just read it off the sheet if you want to, because it's verbatim from the Word. I just copied it so that we wouldn't have to leap around quite so much.
All right. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up.
Okay, that's Matthew's account, right?
Right.
Now read Mark's account.
It came to pass, as he sowed, some fell on by the wayside, and the fowl of the air came and devoured it up.
Almost exactly the same thing, isn't it? Now read Luke's account.
A sower went out to sow his seed. As he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it.
Okay, so basically we have the same thing here. We have seed sown on a hard surface, and because it was hard, the seed didn't go down in. Just laid on the surface where it was exposed to the birds of the air. And they came and they ate it up. Okay? You ever read in the Bible where evil spirits are called principalities of the air, you know, things like that. And we're going to see Jesus says, these are the devil. This is what happens when the seed is sown and it doesn't sink down. So now that's the parable part. And that's what's leaving everybody confused. They're saying, they're going, what is he talking about? Now we're going to read Jesus' explanation of these three things, okay?
Well, it's just like trying to share the word with somebody with a hardened heart.
Yeah. Hardened heart. See, that's exactly what we're talking about. That's a good point, Paul. What does a hardened heart do? See, you say so-and-so has a hardened heart. Is this something that they just can't help? They just got a hardened heart? Or is it something that pretty much they've kind of hardened it themselves, said, I'm not receiving this. Which is it?
Yeah, I think they do it themselves.
Yeah.
Right.
See, if the soil didn't have any choice here, if we didn't have any choice about the soil, what would be the purpose of this parable?
Exactly.
I mean, we got seed, that ain't changing, right? And we got soil, and that doesn't change. So what's the point? We can't change anything. The point is that the seed does not change, but the soil can change. And as Paul pointed out, someone with a hardened heart who says, I don't care what the Bible says, or maybe, possibly this could be it. This is the way I believe, this is the way I've always believed, and this is the way I'm going to continue to believe. Well, there's not a lot you can do with that. That seed's sitting right on the surface. That seed came forth. God's trying to do something, and that seed just sitting on the surface of their heart. It's not sinking down at all. Because why? They've chosen not to let it sink in, right? It's a very dangerous state to be in, especially in the area of salvation. Okay? And it can hurt you in other areas, too. I think we've all seen people that are brothers and sisters in Christ who maybe have a hardened heart because of circumstances in their lives. Something has happened that's warped them in a certain area or something. And you bring forth the teaching on prosperity, possibly, that's part of the blessing of Abraham, or healing, and they haven't experienced this in their life. And so all of a sudden they get condemned, or maybe they've rationalized this in their life in a way that God's worked this in their life for a reason, and they're learning something from it, and you bring forth the teaching on healing, and God wants them to be healed, and all of a sudden things start to come apart, and they just won't receive it, okay? They just can't receive it. Because why? They've hardened their heart in that area. Now, they may be soft as can be in another area, okay? And we all have to watch this in certain areas. We have to be careful that we recognize something as the Word of God. And if it is the Word of God, and it goes against something that we've already thought we had established in our lives, and light starts to come, and we begin to say, gee, this is a little different than I've interpreted this before. Now you're at the crossroads. What are you going to do with this thing? Are you going to soften up and say, well, I'm going to be teachable. It's never too late to learn. Or are you just going to go, no, this is the way I've always felt. This is the way it's going to stay, and I don't care, you know, what this says. This is the way I've interpreted this, and I'm going to stay this way. Okay, it's our choice. And God can't do a whole lot about that. So Paul had an excellent point. It's just a good analogy here for a hardened heart would be an example of a very, like seed being sown by the wayside. Now let's just read Jesus' explanation of this seed on the path and see what it says, okay? Let's see. Do you want to read that, Paul? B, under Jesus' explanation?
Matthew 13.
Yeah, right.
Hear ye therefore a parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and
understandeth it not. I'll explain that part that I put in there in a little bit.
What's GR?
Just forget that part for now. Just go down, understandeth it not.
Then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Probably didn't have any interruptions of that. Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead and read Mark's account now.
The sower soweth the word, and these are the way. And these are they by the wayside where the word was sown. But when they heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts.
And then Luke's account.
Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved.
Okay, just stop with that. Okay. Okay, Jesus is explaining now about this seed that's sown on the path, okay? And he's saying, this is what it's like. This in Matthew's account, he says, when someone hears the word of the kingdom, or the word of God, and they don't understand it. Now, the Greek word there is sunimi, which means to bring and put together, or to sort out, or to consider, not just understand. I mean, understanding is a little blind there. It means when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and doesn't try to sort it out, or doesn't set it, consider it, or trying to put it all together. In other words, doesn't make an honest effort to understand what it's saying, okay? When someone hears the word and they don't try to see what this is saying in their lives and say to themselves, what might I do differently if I really believe this is the word of God? When they don't do that, it says, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in their heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. Now, this is the Lord Jesus Christ talking. He ought to know, okay? He ought to know about what causes his word not to work. And, you know, it didn't work sometimes. Did you know that in Jesus' own ministry? In his own town. He came back and preached to them. And we'll read about that in a little bit. But it says in that area, he could not do any mighty work. In Mark 6, because of their unbelief. He couldn't do it.
See, their faith was required too. He was ministering under the old covenant as a prophet and apostle and all the different things. We talked about that. But he couldn't do any mighty work there because of their unbelief. But he was limited in what he could do because of them. Now, Jesus is God and Jesus is man. Now, he was ministering, remember, not as God when he was on earth, okay? So don't get, you know, thrown by what I'm saying here. He couldn't do it, though, because in ministering this way without their faith, they need their faith being exhibited to some degree, he couldn't do what he wanted to do. And it says that. You read Mark 6:5. Okay. So he's saying, here we go. Here comes the word, okay? And when that person doesn't try to sort it out or put it together or see how it applies to their life, but they immediately just leave it there and say, no, I don't receive that, only then does the enemy have permission to pluck that seed out of their heart. Because when they begin to consider it, mull it over, meditate on it, that seed begins to sink into their heart. Okay? Because they're receiving the seed. They're saying to themselves, okay, here's the word of God. Now how would I operate? How would I change my life to conform to what I just learned here, what I just heard about the word of God? How would I change what I'm doing? Okay? Whether it's healing, whether it's finances, whatever it might be, that person considers the seed and tries to sort out his own life. In other words, he wants to be a doer of the word. He doesn't just look in the word and say, gee, and see what manner of man he is and then go away and forget and then not change his life. But if you don't accept that word that way and you just go, I don't believe that. How can that be? Or you don't treat the word with the respect it deserves or don't want to change your life to conform to the word that you're getting, then it sits on that surface and the enemy comes and steals it from you. And he says, in the next count, it says he comes immediately. Now, I've actually, as God is my witness, I have sat in a Bible study and taught a Bible study, in fact, and I have seen this happen on people's faces. You can see it sometimes. I'm not talking about our Bible study, but I'm thinking in the past, you know, we were in California, we had Bible studies and we had teaching things. When we lived in, I guess we didn't in Florida, did we? But in Indiana, lots of them, and most places we've lived. And you can see this happen sometimes. You can see the seed go forth, and you can see the wrestling that's going on. And you can see that somehow, you don't know what, because as you're bringing forth the seed, you have no idea what's going on in people's lives unless the Lord gives you some sort of word of knowledge or word of wisdom, which doesn't happen with me. I mean, you know, I'm not used that way. But you can see on their face the little battle is starting to transpire. You can see, and you don't even know what the circumstance, you don't even know the person's background, but you can see a wrestling match is occurring. You can see that this word has gone forth. God is trying to do something with this word. It's hitting them in an area in their life that God is directing this seed toward. And sometimes you can just see like a light go on. And they go, ah, I see. You can just see them receiving that seed into their life. And they're thinking, okay, and you can just see their eye. You can just see, okay, that's why probably this hasn't been working and I need to do this. And if I do this, then yeah, you know, you can see it. And you can also see the cases where somebody just goes, boy, you can just see it. They've set their face sometimes almost. It's just like they're getting mad. They're actually getting mad at the word that's coming forth, sort of like, you know, kill the messenger. You can tell them they're getting mad at you sometimes too. I've sensed it, you know. And the person that's bringing forth the word is just a messenger. Okay? They didn't write it. But yet, it condemns them. And they don't want to change. And they don't want to recognize that they have to change something. And so they don't receive that seed. And because they don't receive the seed, Satan comes immediately and takes what little seed that was laying there. So it's gone now. See, that's the danger. Not only didn't the seed get received, but the seed is actually stolen. It's not even there. So I'm just pointing these things out. That's why Jesus said so many times, be careful how you hear. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, the secret's in the hearing. How you receive these things to go forth. Do you receive it as the word of God? Or do you receive it as something that, if it blesses me, I'll go along with it. If it kind of makes me want to change something that I don't want to change, I don't go along with it. Okay? It's up to us, is the point. Okay, so here, this understanding, as I say, is a little bit You know, it's not completely the whole meaning of the Greek word, which means to bring and to put together, to sort out, to consider. It's more of a thoughtful approach in the Greek than just to understand. Understanding is sort of passive. Well, you think, if he doesn't understand, how could he be blamed? You know, here goes a word, he doesn't understand it. But it's more than that. It's more he didn't consider it. He didn't try to sort it out. He didn't try to put it together and to see how he could use this in his life, okay? Okay, Mark's account says the sower sows the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they've heard, Satan, this is where it says, he comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. I've seen it work this way sometimes. Sometimes you're teaching on healing, for example. And that week, their whole family gets sick. Satan says, I am going to rip this word out. I mean, they're starting to, it's sitting on the surface a little bit. They're not sure about it. So I'm going to make the whole family sick here and just, you know, bring it in on them so they'll go, man, I tried this stuff, you know, I listened to that word and I made a couple positive confessions and the whole family got sick. That's not for me, see. Enemy stole the word right there. He brought a few symptoms along and they were ready to cave in. Okay, Luke's account. The seed is the word of God again. It says again, these are those by the wayside. They hear. And then comes the devil and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Now, a lot of people see that believe and be saved and think of just salvation. But if you read up the Greek word for saved is sozo, which has to do with not only salvation of the soul, but the whole person, spirit, soul, and body. It connotes a much deeper, it's a more all-inclusive term than just our salvation, which is most important, we're born again. But I want you to point out that this isn't just talking about salvation here. And if you look up the word sozo, it says to keep safe and sound, to heal, to restore to health. These are all meanings of the Greek word sozo. So the enemy steals it so that they don't believe and receive relief from whatever it is that's bothering them. Okay? And the whole point of this seed going forth is to bear fruit in their lives. Jesus and our Heavenly Father want this seed that's in the Word of God to bear fruit in our lives. Okay? Jesus gave His life for it. He wants us to prosper. He wants us to be in health. He wants us to be born again. He wants all these good things for us. But what He's trying to show us, and what He's been prompting me to in these Bible studies, I can look backwards and see it now, He's trying to show His people that there's a part they have to play. He's done all He can do. Jesus isn't going to the cross again. He has taken our sin. He's taken our sickness. He's taken all those things for us. But there is an enemy arrayed against us who is going to try to convince us that His word is not true. When the symptoms of sickness come, for example, the easy thing to do is to say, well, you know, here it is again. It is flu season after all. I'll go get my shot, and I'm not saying it's wrong to get a flu shot. I'm just saying the first thought is, what is man's approach to this solution? And even before they're sick or even got a symptom, to go make provision for not getting sick. But if you read the Word of God, it says Jesus took our infirmities. He bare our sickness for us. See, when you realize you've already been inoculated by Jesus, by His stripes, you were healed. Now, I admit, this takes a while to get down in your spirit. But see, nevertheless, it is seed that's in the Word of God. But see, it's very easy for us to sit here and go, uh-huh, I can see that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see where if your heart is a little hardened there and the seed doesn't get in, yeah, you might not. An enemy comes, sure, I understand that. But when we make it personal and we talk about different things, then each one of us in this room, we could probably find one thing in the Bible that they'd go, oh, wait a minute, that's getting kind of close to home here. You know what I mean? Now, this is an area that I don't see, you know, and it's because we've become a little bit accustomed to the way we do things, and we don't want to change in a way. Now, I just touched on healing here, you know, because that's such a controversial subject. But Jesus, what does the Word of God say? Himself took our infirmities, and He bare our sickness, Matthew 8:17. That He redeemed us from the curse of the law. And in that curse was every sickness and every disease, it says. Even those not written in the book of the law. So we've been redeemed from sickness. Why then is there so much sickness in the body of Christ? Because 95% of them don't know they've been redeemed from it, for one thing. And the 5% that do are either acting on this or they're not acting on it. One of the two. Some people can know this thing. They know intellectually it's true. But when the thing hits home and it becomes personal and they're attacked in their body, instead of going to the Word of God, it's easier just to do the normal thing that the rest of the world does. And there's no condemnation in that. What I'm saying is that if you haven't at least gone and clubbed the enemy on the head with the Word of God, you haven't really appropriated the seed that God gave you in that area. Can you see that? God gave us this for a reason. He wants us healthy. He wants us healed. Okay? By Jesus' stripes, we were healed. Now, you can raise a whole rat's nest with this talk. I'm telling you, I know. But I have to be honest with you. This is the Word of God, and that's what it does say. And when that enemy brings that sickness into you, don't let him put in your mind, hey, you know, this is a little bit radical teaching. I haven't heard that before. Everybody else I know that's a Christian does it this way. Well, you change. You be the one that comes up there and says, Satan, I am not going to give in to this thing anymore. I have had it with you putting sickness upon me. I absolutely refuse this sickness. I give it back to you. You take it back. I don't want it. Return to sender. Because the Bible is very clear on where sickness comes from. And I refuse it in the name of Jesus and just tell him you aren't going to accept it. And then the first few times you do this, he's going to battle you with it a little bit. He doesn't want to let go, but he has to. If you stick in there and you really believe it, and maybe the first couple times your faith is weak because, man, I just heard this, and you haven't gotten it down in your spirit yet. And he will leave you alone more after a while. He will, believe me. The battles I fought in healing were unbelievable for a while. I mean, it just seemed like every time I would get this teaching and I would tell Marianne to come excited, the kids would get sick, and Marianne would get sick, and then I would get sick. And something would happen, and I just kept saying, I'm not going to give up on this thing. God provided it. I don't know what I'm doing wrong, but this is in the Bible. I am going to stick with this thing. And I just stuck with it and stuck with it. And finally, you know, and I got it down in my spirit, and I meditated on it. I went through, and I checked all the references in the Old Testament, and saw that, yes, it was really in there. It was part of the covenant. The more I did that, the more I got in my spirit, and I got to the point where the enemy was having a real time putting this on me anymore. Then I got to the point where I realized for 4 or 5 years in a row, I have never had a cold, never had a flu. Now, you get out of love, you know, don't walk in love, it can hit you again and you can't get rid of it. Believe me, you go to do this thing and it just stays there and you wonder, what's going on? So then when you do that, say, be teachable. Go to God and say, listen, God, you know, I know your word is true. Somewhere I'm missing it. Can you show me where it is? And when you do that, he's always... I've shown many times he's shown me where I missed it in walking in love. It's almost always been the fact that, Mike, look what happened here. You know, and I repent. I say, I'm sorry, Father. Gee, I knew better than that. Or maybe I have to apologize to somebody or something. Now, I'm not putting condemnation on people. I'm saying, but I'm talking about myself. Most of the time for me, it was I got out from walking in love. And that's when it didn't work for me. But as soon as I got back in, confessed it, then told the enemy to take his hands off, it would go, okay? And it would go off my kids, it would go off Marianne, you know? She battled migraines for years. And I would tell her these things. She'd say, Mike, I've heard it. I know that's true, and I know it's true, but my head hurts so bad. Finally, one day, she had a migraine attack, and, well, what'd you do, honey? You tell it.
I just felt somehow that since Mike never had one, he had no idea how true it was. Just on the very verge of just wanting to just anything to get over with it. So I never even really listened to him thoroughly. I listened, and I knew it was true when I was feeling fine. But when I was in such pain that I wanted to throw up and I wanted to go in the dark room and I wanted to hospitalize me, which they did once even, there was no way. But then one day after he told me, and I laid and listened to scriptures, etc., one day it just hit me. It hit here. It wasn't here, it was here. I'm going to get it. And you can get it on the top of the surface of your brain forever and forever and forever. When you finally get it done, deep in your heart, and you say, that's it. The devil's trying to rob me of the quality of life, but I know I deserve it. And I don't need to give up 2 or 3 days in agony. I mean, just, ugh. And once that happened, I never had another one. But I did have momentary attacks, which you always have the aura and all the others. No, I mean, I remember driving the car. No, that we cannot put another one on me. I refuse to accept it. And I keep going, let me try. But
there you are.
Really, it's something that no matter how many times you're told, no matter how many times you hear it, to really, really, really. So try to say it. Get away from the side and make up your mind.
See, what we're talking about, getting that soil prepared. She's exactly what Marianne is saying in a different way. Getting that soil to the point where it gets down inside. One day, Marianne finally, she said, I was up there with her and I thought, I don't know what we're going to do here. I mean, you know, she says, I don't have to receive this. I'm tired of this. I've had it. I am filled up with migraine headaches. She says, I'm not receiving this anymore. And she just said, I got to the devil. And she never had another one. Now that's the word of God. But she had to get to the point where she saw that that was hers and that she didn't have to put up with it anymore. But that took a while for that word to get down there. And you have to feed on that word, that seed. Just keep letting that seed sink in, meditating on it, understanding it, considering it, sorting it out, meditating on that word. Then all of a sudden one day it's yours. Now it could be healing, it could be finances, it could be, you know, for the sinner it's salvation, whatever you need. You know, see, faith is required. You know, faith cometh by hearing and getting that word, that seed deep inside, that incorruptible seed. Can you kind of see how it all ties together here? Okay, so this is the seed by the wayside. That seed never had a chance. You know, it just was thrown on hard surface and it never really had a chance to get down inside. And the enemy came along and just scooped it up and off he went. Okay? Okay, the next type of situation is, before we go on, let's under points to consider, let's look at that. Okay, the problem, what was the problem here? Well, the problem that I have written down here, the words I use was, they didn't protect the seed by receiving it into their heart. Now that takes some time to meditate on it, but not to refuse that seed, not to harden the heart like Paul said. Keep that heart soft. Keep that spirit teachable. If it's something you haven't heard before and it's new and it sounds too good to be true, the first thing you should do instead of rejecting it, say, well, is this a consistent teaching in the Word of God? It may be new to me, but if it's a consistent teaching in the Word of God, I want it. And go home, you know, don't just sit at the Bible study or church or something and just say, well, that's it, I don't know if I understand it well enough, and just go on with your life. Go home and research it for yourself. Run your references on healing or finances or whatever it might be. Find out for yourself. That's the only way you'll ever get it established in your own heart, is for you to get in that Bible and spend some time on your own and make this scripture yours. See, when the teacher or somebody's trying to get it across to you, he may understand it or he may not, but he can't put it inside your heart. He can bring the seed, but the seed doesn't have any way of preparing the soil, really. It can only do as much as the seed can do. It's anointed, it's incorruptible, it's got power, but it requires something on the receiving end to let that thing really grow in your life. And it grew in Marianne's life when she kept thinking about that and getting it down in her heart to finally one day, she had it. And she knew she had it. So,
you know, it's faith.
Yeah. If God's word says it and we're not realizing it, then the teachable spirit says, I need to learn more about this. I need to get in the Word of God and see if this is really true. And if it is, I need to change my life in these areas. That's the teachable person, the teachable spirit. The unteachable person says, I don't care. I knew a certain person. They did it this way. It didn't work for them. And so I don't believe it. You know, sometimes people think that. They think that, well, I knew a guy once, and he really believed, and he died. Well, you don't know anything about what that person believed. You don't know anything about that until you walk through it yourself. And realize, these people don't realize what they're saying is, I am choosing to believe somebody's circumstances over what God's Word is saying. Now, how can you really go through His Word and pick and choose what you believe? You know, I believe on salvation, that worked in my life. I don't think I care much for this healing business. I don't think I care much for this prosperity thing either, but I sure like this not worrying business and giving burdens to the Lord. I guess I'll go with that. You can't have it that way. You can't treat the Word of God like God's lying sometimes and not lying other times. You know? It's not a lottery. It's not a lottery. But you have to rightly divide it. Don't get me wrong. You don't take one verse and jump on it and say, look what it says right here in verse 14. I'm going to build my life around that. Well, I'll make sure that you're rightly dividing what's there. Read everything around verse 14. Then go somewhere else and read the same thing and get a full teaching on this subject in the Word of God, okay? Now, healing, you know, it's all over the place. It's not just one verse. Okay, in fact, the enemy has it so twisted, he'll try to take one verse that's a little bit questionable, like Paul's thought, and blow it all out of proportion to the point where everybody points to that when they talk about healing. Well, what about all the other places? You know? And besides, let's talk about Paul Thorne's rightly. Okay? But the enemy's got him in reverse. Instead of taking, seeing it, that as an exception, if at the very least, even if you assume what they're right, what they're saying about Paul Thorne, it's got to be an exception to the rule. Then looking at that as the rule and taking all the other healing God did and all the things he promises the exception. That just doesn't make sense. Read the Bible for yourselves. You know, get in there and dig these things out for you. There's no shortcut for the, you know, if you really want to live with all the salvation's blessings, there's no shortcut other than getting into the Word of God for yourself and making each one of these things yours. But there's no greater blessing, you know, to put the enemy on the run and to see these things growing in your life, to see his hand in certain areas diminishing, the things that used to hold over you and dominate you with, to see them, the thing of the past. I mean, there's things like drinking, you know, there's things I was saved, but I still had a heck of a drinking problem, okay? And I just couldn't seem to shed that, but the Lord took it away from me. When I, in tears one day, told him, I can't deal with this, Lord. I'm trying. I'm doing the very best I can. But I can't not drink. And I just heard deep inside, I know you can't. You're doing your best. But can you give it to me? I can do it. If you just trust me. Well, that's why it worked for me. And I said, Lord, you got it. And I never had the desire after that. I mean, little victories. That was a big victory for me. But here and there, it doesn't happen all at once. But pick a victory here, go for that, and then that's a thing of the past, and go on to the next thing, and climb the next hill, you know, and find out what the Word says about that, and rip that thing out of your life, and go on to the next thing. That's what God wants us to do, put that Word to work for us, you know, not be passive, but be, you know, get in there and be a hard charger where the Word goes, you know, be a Word person, I guess, is you know, treat the Word with the respect it deserves. After all, it is God's Word. There is an integrity in the Word of God. Just like I value your Word here, the people in this room, if you told me something, and you told me the same thing several different ways, and it all kind of said the same thing, I'd believe you. The first time, if it was radically different than anything I'd ever heard, I thought, well, maybe I didn't hear Paul write, or Jay write, or Tina write. Okay? But if I heard them over a period of time, I got to know them, and they said the same thing many times in different ways, but it all added up to the same thing. I think I would either I have to do one of two things. I either have to say, you know, if I'm not seeing this for myself, either they know something I don't know, or they're totally out to lunch, one of the two. But see, that's what we're doing with God's Word. We're saying it either doesn't line up, you know, it's either something I'm not enjoying, or God's totally out to lunch here on this thing. I mean, by our actions. What's God to think? He gave us His Word, and then He sees our lives. Now, this is not a condemning thing. This is the victorious message of becoming an overcomer and not just laying down and taking everything the enemy throws at you. He doesn't like this kind of talk, the enemy. He's got so many Christians just barely hanging on, don't even realize that he's their problem. That's his number one thing he's done. They don't realize the war's not against flesh and blood. You know, it's not the person in the next cubicle. It's not the person down the hall. It's not the boss at work. It's what's behind that. Okay? You could deal with that. Jesus dealt with the most unlovely people in the world. They put him on a cross. He dealt with it. But that doesn't mean we have to fold up and everything. And I know the temptations are great sometimes just to cave it all in and say, it doesn't work. I mean, it does take some work to work this stuff. Because the enemy, especially at first, because he doesn't want you to get this stuff. He doesn't want to see you victorious. He doesn't want to see you using God's Word. But God does. He gave His Son for it. But if you never use it, you'll never have it. Okay, we've said enough about that, I think. Okay, so the points to consider were down here. The Word is like seed. It has growth potential built in. Remember it says in 1 Peter 1:23, it says the seed is... Well, let's just turn to it. 1 Peter 1:23 and say what it says about the Word. Matt, why don't you read verse 23, 1 Peter.
For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through through the living and enduring word of God.
Okay, so here we have the seed linked to the word of God again. You see that? When you were born again, you were born with incorruptible seed, seed that can never be destroyed, the word of God. That's how you were born again. Somebody gave you the word of God on salvation. They told you what the Bible says about how to be saved. And you received that word and worked a miracle in your life. See, it says here, you were born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. How, Lord? By the word of God. That's the seed we're talking about here, which lives and abides forever. You know this seed lives and abides forever? It'll never get old. This seed of the word of God will never cease to have power. This is God's word. This never changes. God is not a man that he changes his mind. There's no shadow of turning with God, it says in James. There's no hidden thing that there's no changing. As time goes on, as the centuries roll by, and we're getting ready to get to the year 2000, it rolls by. This doesn't change. This is an unchanging word, incorruptible, unchanging word of God. And you are born again through the power in that seed. But you chose to believe that word that you heard about Jesus on the cross, and that worked a miracle in your life. That same seed in other areas will work equal miracles in your life. I don't mean equal in the sense that it will save you from eternal damnation like believing on Jesus for salvation did, but I mean equal miracles in terms of changing your life. The things that are problems in your life right now, whatever enters your mind right now is a problem. There's a part of the Word of God, there's seed that's there for that problem, whatever it might be. I don't know what in each one of your minds right now, but whatever that thing is, find the part of the Word of God that promises victory in that area. Meditate on it until you can apply that to your life and get it down in your heart till it ceases to be a problem. Number three here, what was the only thing mentioned in that first account that we can do to prevent Satan from stealing the seed when it's first sown? You remember? Right. But it was more than just understanding, wasn't it? Meditating on it, really, is what we're talking about here. Taking that word and meditating on it. What does this mean? You know, it seems to me this is saying something about my problem here. What is God trying to say? Meditate on it. See, this seed is incorruptible. It's alive. Did you know the Word of God is alive? The Word of God is alive. Hebrews 4:12. And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That seed, when it goes out, that word, sometimes I know you've all experienced that, where that word will just go right in. And you think, that's the problem. That's what I need to do. That's an area I need to focus on, or something. You know, it just hits you like a little sword. Well, that's the spirit of, see, it's alive. Jesus said, my words are spirit, and they are alive. This thing is alive. It's spirit. It's meant to light up areas of our life. Okay? It's meant to change things. Just like when you were born again. What a miracle. Well, it was through the Word of God. That same word will do it in other areas of your life, whether it's healing or whatever. But you've got to get that word in there and let it come down deep inside. And as Tina pointed out, the one thing that we can do, the only thing mentioned in this first thing about preparing, if it hadn't been for Matthew's account, we'd be a little bit up the creek, I think. Because everything else just tells us it's really bad to have that seed on the surface of your heart. It's really bad when it doesn't sink down, but nothing else but Matthew's account tells us what can we do about it. See, I don't have a lot of patience with, I shouldn't say this maybe, but I just say with people who tell the people to do a lot of stuff, but they don't tell them how. You understand what I'm saying? Do this, do that, do that. And that person's going, well, how do I do that? Especially new Christians, I don't know what to do. But you need to do that. You need to have victory in your life. You need to be an overcomer. And you need to do this. And Jesus isn't coming back for a weak church. He's not coming back for an ineffectual church. He's not coming back for a church with spot or a wrinkle. He wants you holy, and he wants you ready, and he wants you this. And everybody's going, okay, what do I do? Tell me what to do. Anything. I'll do it. But they leave you high and dry. That's not teaching. You know? But God always, if you'll search his word, he'll tell you how. That's the beautiful thing about it. Now, if you'd have read Mark's account, Luke's account, you wouldn't have a clear idea, I don't think, of how.
Mark 4:24. It's the gist of the whole thing. Be careful what you're hearing, what measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what consideration you give to it.
Yes, you're right. Later on, he does. Now, right now, though, we don't have anything but this understanding part, but you're right. Later on, it tells us, be careful how you hear. You know, we can think of back to high school and college. Be careful how you hear. You can see guys back in class. You know? Well, they're not being very careful how they hear. They're hearing zero. In fact, the students around them are hearing very little except them snoring, okay? Then you'll see the people in the front row and they're like this. They're writing everything down, you know. Well, it looks like they're hearing, you know, it can be a fake. I've learned some of these guys that write everything down never hear anything either. You know, they're so busy writing, they never hear. I used to just write in the margins of my textbook. I don't know why, I just would always focus on what he was saying. Because I felt like if I was writing, I was going to be missing a lot, or I'd develop a shorthand, I'd just write down a couple of key things, you know. Because I felt I could always go back and read the book. You know, and other people are trying to follow the book. Say, where's this in the book? Well, you can read the book later. Let's know what he's saying right now. You know, this is what he's interested in, and that's what he's going to put on the test, okay? But anyway, you know, I mean, be careful. Gary said, be careful how you hear. Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Does that mean not physically having ears? No, we all got ears, but you can do something with them. You can turn them on, you can turn them off. You can be teachable, you can be unteachable. You can make up your mind. You've done this, I've done this. We've gone to something, you say, well, I don't care. When I go there, I'm shutting my ears because I know what they're going to say. I've been through this before, and I don't mean just about spiritual things, but I mean about something else. You know, so you know somebody's going to put the bent on you about something or try to sell you something or whatever. You know what I mean? You know, things like that. And it's just, I'm not going to do that, whatever it might be. So you don't really hear what they're saying because you've made up your mind before you go there. This is the way it's going to be. The guy never really had a chance, in a way. So that's what Gary is saying here when he says, be careful how you hear. When it comes to the Word of God, crank those windows of your ears wide open. And listen to what... Because after all, who's speaking here? You know, here's a question to ask yourself. Do we really believe it? Do we really believe that God is speaking through this word? Here's another way of putting this question. If Jesus Christ walked into the room and said to you, be careful how you hear, Matt, because the way you hear is going to affect your whole life. And I'm telling you right now, Matt, be careful how you hear. Be sure you hear my word with all your ears open. Because only then will you truly have success. I'm sure Matt would come the next Bible study and tell us, you're not going to believe what happened. I mean, you know, Jesus Christ himself. But you see, if that is any more amazing to us than to read it in the Bible, something's wrong. Why? Because it's still God talking to us. Whether he appears to us and says it, it's just as strong here if you really believe it's the Word of God. Do you see that? Now, when you begin to approach the Bible like that, you're going to start seeing some changes in your life with the respect and the honor and the humility to say, oh my goodness, God, forgive me, I've never seen this before. I'm changing right now because this is your word. You're going to see miracles in your life. Because what? You're putting the word in first place. It can't not but work. But see, when we divide it up a little bit, well, I don't know, that's... Yeah, it's a good idea God's got there, but it's sure kind of going against what I had planned here. And I'll think about that if I get time and it fades out of your memory and just go about doing it your normal way. God's not going to bless that. But boy, when you hear it like it is. Now, I'm talking to myself here. I do this all the time. I mean, I think, well, I've got this pretty well under control now. All of a sudden, I find myself, oh, my, how could you make that kind of a dumb mistake? I mean, you know better than that. You've been through this before. God's so patient with us, but you just pick yourself up and you say, Father, I'm sorry. I should have known better than that. You know, this is your word after all. I mean, It happens to all of us. But the main thing is, what do you do when that happens? You just say, oh, nuts, I'll never get this. Or you say, no, going on, sorry, Lord, forgive me. He immediately forgives. I'm going to learn from this. I'm going to go on. This is going to be something I learned from. I'm not going to do this the next time. And even if you make the same mistake again, sorry, Lord, pick yourself up, go on. You will eventually get it. The enemy wants you to get discouraged. But don't. Pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and say, I'll do it better next time. But don't give up on it. Don't give up. You know, because that's what the enemy wants. And I don't want anything in my life that he wants. Okay? If he wants me to give up, then I don't want to give up. But see, it's so subtle sometimes. You don't realize it's the enemy that's trying to get you to cave in. You think, oh, I've put up with this long enough. I have stood in faith long enough. Now that sounds, you know, like a little pity party. But well, who starts at the enemy? It's long enough. You put up with this long enough. See, he knows the answer is getting close. And if he doesn't get you off this faith business pretty quick here, you're going to get a victory. And when you get a victory, he is really done. Because now you've not only believed in your faith, but you've seen it come to pass in your life, and you're going to be tougher to defeat the next time. But if he can keep it from happening the first time, and you're getting close, and he sees you're hanging there in faith, and he doesn't know when it's going to happen, but he knows that if you don't cave in pretty quick, that answer's coming. He'll come in there and say, you know, you've been harassed long enough. I mean, you have really, really tried. Boy, no one can say you didn't really try. It didn't work, but boy, you sure tried. You tried it. You tried the word. And next time, boy, somebody comes up and they say to you, healing is in the atonement, you can say, listen, buddy, you're going to know. Because you tried it, didn't you? And you're going to go, yeah, I sure did. I tried it, boy. And it just didn't work. I stood in there and I stood through pain and I believed God and I confessed all the right things and it just did not work. Boy, that was that close to coming to pass in your life, and the enemy got you to say it's not coming to pass. What a shame. And you know, the worst part of it is, it's not just a defeat there. It may be from now on. Because now the next time, you're going to remember the last time. And you're going to think, you know, I went through this last time, and I believed this, and I stood through pain for a week, and I didn't see any change. I'm not going to go through that again. Oh, he's so happy when you do that. But when you finally get through it, and you see the miracle of God come to pass in your life, you're going to be tough the next time, buddy. You're going to be real tough to defeat. And you know what? After a couple of those, he just leaves you alone, pretty much. He's got other things to do. He doesn't like being defeated every time. And pretty much, you know, it's just the way it works. So there's, you know, don't get discouraged. If there's some things in your life that seem like they're not working the way they should be, just get back in there, read the Word of God. See, the Word will build you up. You know, just myself this week, I got a little down about something, okay? And it was just a little pity party I had for maybe 15 minutes to a half an hour about something. And I took a little walk by myself, and I thought, you know, and I was thinking about this, and all of a sudden, you know, and I just started praying in the Spirit. Now, that really helps a lot, too, by the way. Builds you up inside. And when I came back, I thought, this is nothing. This is nothing. God is still my God. This one little tiny little sliver of my life here that seems to be a little bit not working, it's nothing. And I could see that if I would just pull back and treat it like nothing, it would solve itself anyway. Now, nothing has changed in the last 2 or 3 days in the natural, but I sure feel a lot better about things, about this one little thing than I did before. Yeah. You know? So, it's just perspective. Nothing's changed, but my perspective has changed. Why? Because the Word of God. The Word of God's promises are there. Something that I'm believing for right now hasn't manifested completely yet. But the enemy's trying to get me discouraged about it, you know. Now, now here's a mistake I was making, okay? I'll just share it with you so that you don't make the same mistake. I was comparing the degree of faith I put forward for this thing to what I had to put forward years ago for the same type of thing. And I thought, I have done as much as I did then. Why isn't it here? That was a trap of the enemy.
See?
There is no basis for that kind of comparison. See, as you grow up in the Lord, sometimes you're going to be hit with something, maybe it's a little bit harder as you get older.
God brings some maturity.
Well, and the thing, yeah, you're just, you know, just because it worked a little easier earlier on, maybe you're going to have to stay in faith a little longer this time. You say, well, this is longer than I did last time it came to pass. Well, is there any place in the Bible that says 2 weeks? You know, it says patience, right? See, I even said this one time, and I didn't say it jokingly, but after I said it, Marianne was hooting. But I said, I know I need patience, but it'd be so much easier to have patience if I just knew how long it was going to be for. She would crack up. And I says, what did I say? She says, did you hear what you just said? And I says, what? She says, you said it would be much easier to have patience if you only knew how long it was going to have to be for. And she says, just saying that's not patience. I says, you're absolutely right. Well, so that's the whole problem. I was saying, Lord, I can be patient. Just how long? Tell me how long? 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years? I'll accept it. I need to know how long am I going to stand in there, Lord.
You said that on the highway when you were boxed in with the traffic and then from here to there and everywhere. He's terrible with traffic. But he goes in. He was trying to be Christian about it, too. I remember him.
If I only knew how long it was going to be for. How long is this line of traffic going to be stopped between here and Madison out in the middle of the road out there, you know? If I only knew how long it was going to be, if someone would say it's going to be an hour, half an hour, okay. But it's not knowing. And she says, that's a good definition of patience. When you don't know, you're still patient. Otherwise, it's not patience. You're just enduring for a spell that you know. Patience is enduring when you don't know how long it's going to take.
Now let's go over the homework for this lesson. First question. The seed Jesus is talking about in this parable is the blank, blank, blank. Let's determine what goes in these blanks. Okay, if you read back in the parable of sower, and as we said in our lesson, there are three different places in the Bible where this parable is discussed. In Matthew chapter 13, in Mark chapter 4, and in Luke chapter 8. And so, in these parables, Jesus is talking about sowing seed, he's talking about ground or soil, he's talking about different types of soil, and what we're asking in this first question is, the seed Jesus is talking about in this parable is the blank, blank, blank. Well, if you read this parable, you find out that the seed Jesus is talking about in this parable is the Word of God. Jesus likens seed to the Word of God. So Word of God goes in this first three blanks. Next question. The soil Jesus is talking about is a blank blank. What is the soil that Jesus is talking about here, where the Word of God goes into? Is it just regular ground or soil in the earth? No, that's not what Jesus is talking about, is it? The soil Jesus is talking about is a person's heart. So the thing that goes in those two blanks is person's heart. True or false? In this parable, Jesus spoke about three different types of soil. Is that true or false? Well, that's false. How many types of soil did Jesus talk about in this parable? He talked about four types of soil. And we'll be talking about those in the next, in these, this lesson and the two following. So there's three lessons all together, and we're going to be speaking about these four types of soil. So this question is false because there are four types of soil Jesus speaks of. The reason Jesus provided word seed is to blank blank in our blank. What goes in these blanks? The reason God provided word seed is to bear fruit in our lives. See, why does a farmer plant seed? A farmer plants seed to reap a crop of some time, isn't it? Some kind. And what is that crop? It could be various things. And when the crop comes to maturity, we call that bearing fruit, whether the farmer does it or whether God's Word does it in our lives. So the reason God provided word seed is to bear fruit in our lives, just as the farmer sows regular seed to bear fruit in his field. True or false? If I don't make use of the way God has provided for me to be successful in life, God will provide another way. Is this true or false? Well, folks, this is false.
If we don't make use of the way God has provided for us to be successful in life, God isn't going to change His Word just to accommodate us. He has clearly laid out in His Word steps that we can take to bear fruit or be successful in our lives. So this answer is false. And because it's false, we better use what God has provided if we want to bear fruit in our lives. He's given every one of us, I was just reading this morning, gifts to every Christian. They have received certain gifts, and then He gives you the grace to operate in these gifts. And so we need to bear fruit in our lives. God wants us to bear fruit. And the key thing to bearing fruit in our lives is the Word of God. Next question. If I hear the word on salvation and accept what I hear into my heart and act upon it, I will bear blank, blank. Okay, what goes in those blanks? If I hear the word on salvation and accept what I hear into my heart and then act upon it, I will bear salvation fruit. Okay, next question. If I hear the word of God on healing and accept what I hear into my heart and act upon it, I will bear blank, blank. Okay, what goes in those blanks? If I hear the word on healing and accept what I hear into my heart and act upon it, I will bear healing fruit. See, I'm trying to make a point here. Okay, and the next question will sum it up. True or false? Therefore, the type of fruit we will bear in our lives is determined by the type of seed I receive into my heart, just like a farmer receives different fruit for different types of seed sown. Is this true or false? Folks, this is absolutely true. If you want to bear healing fruit in your life, in other words, if your body needs healing, then you need to hear the word on healing. If a person isn't saved yet and they want to spend eternity with God and they want to know how to be saved, then they better hear the word of God on salvation. Okay? It's anything you want in your life, anything you want to excel in, anything you want to prosper in, you need to hear the word of God on that particular subject in the Bible and act upon it. Now, that's why, really, I teach these lessons all through this Bible school in a topical manner. I mean, there's various ways to teach the Bible and the Word of God, but God has moved in my heart to teach it topically. What do I mean by this? I mean to take a topic like salvation or healing or prosperity or redemption or whatever it might be, and then jump around in the Bible as I teach, getting the full picture on this particular topic, because God doesn't lay out it by topic in the Bible. It's more of a just-as-he-goes type of teaching thing. And He'll teach on one thing and a little bit on another thing, and then He'll come back later and He'll teach a little bit more on that one subject again. And so to get a complete breakdown on a certain topic, one needs to know the total picture the Bible gives us on that topic. It's not enough just to, for example, teach the book of Matthew. And that's valuable. It's good to teach the book of Matthew if that's the way God leads you to do it and you're a teacher. But the way God leads me is to teach topically. He tells me that my children need to learn about certain things in their lives, like salvation or healing or prosperity or something. Therefore, He's called me to teach the Bible topically on these topics. And so I'll jump around various parts in the Bible, get a verse here, a verse there, and try to paint the whole picture of that topic. Now, what I'm trying to point out then in these questions is, if you want to bear healing fruit for your body, then you need to get the total picture on healing in the Bible and listen to some of our healing CDs. If you want the picture on salvation, you need to then find out what the Bible says about salvation. And that takes a little digging sometimes. So the type of fruit you want to bear in your lives is determined by the type of seed you receive in your heart. It's just like the farmer does. He receives different fruit for different types of seed sown. You can't just sow one type of seed for the farmer and he gets all kinds of different crops. And that's why people don't understand sometimes where a person who may be a regular member of the church, they're there every time the church doors are open, they walk in love, they're very sweet people, but yet they die of some terrible disease, and then people say God took them. And then you might say, well, no, God didn't take them. He didn't put that disease on them. They say, well, they were so holy and they were so good that they must have, you know, God just must have taken them home. But see, the thing I'm trying to get across here is that just because you have good, solid teaching on salvation and you're walking in love, you know what the Word says about walking in love, you may have a high degree of faith in many different topics, But when your body needs healing, if you don't know much about what the Bible says about healing, even though you're strong in these other areas, you can still die, folks. I mean, you have to have the full teaching of God, the full counsel of God's Word, to be truly prosperous. And when I say prosperous, I don't just mean financially prosperous. I mean prosper in healing, prosper in relationships, prosper in financially is part of it too. You need teaching in all those areas. And that's where people miss it sometimes. If they go to a church and their church maybe doesn't emphasize healing, but they emphasize holiness and they emphasize walking in love, and those are all valuable good things, but they may have a hole in their life where it comes to healing. If their church teaches that, well, healing's not for today, it's been done away with, and sometimes God will take you home and put sickness upon you, teach you lessons. If people hear that, even though their faith is high in other areas, their faith may be very low in this area of healing. And so my point here is just to point out that you're going to bear fruit in your lives in different areas, and the degree to which you bear fruit in a certain area is a function of how much of the Word of God that you've received into your heart in that area. Okay, next question. The point in this parable, talking about the parable of the sower, is that different types of seed will bear different types or kinds of fruit. Is this true or false? Well, folks, a lot of you probably marked true for this until you heard my explanation, but it's false. The point in the parable is not that different types of seed will bear different types of fruit, although this is true. The point in the parable is not this, and we will talk about later what the point of the parable is, but just this first thing is, I want to get it clear, the point in the parable is not that different types of seed will bear different types of fruit, even though that is true, but it's not the point of this parable. Let's go on and we'll talk about this. True or false? No, the point of the parable is that we must be sure to get good seed into our heart. Is that the point of the parable? No, that's not the point of the parable either. The seed is the Word of God, which is always good, isn't it? So that's not the point either. The reason I'm bringing these things out is to, sometimes you can emphasize a point better by telling what something is not, and then saying what it is, rather than just saying something, making a statement of fact. So the point of the parable is not the different types of seed will bear different types of fruit, even though that's true. And the point of the parable is not that we must be sure to get good seed into our heart, because the Word of God is always good. What is the main point of the parable then? And that's the next question. What is the main point of this parable? The point of this parable is that we can and must make ourselves the right kind of soil so that fruit can grow in our lives. See, it's up to us to make sure that that seed falls into the good soil of a receptive heart. So, what's the main point of the parable? What is the variable in the parable? It's the soil, isn't it? It's not the seed. God didn't say, I'm sowing four different types of seed here into one type of soil. No, he said, I'm sowing one type of seed, the Word of God, into four different types of soil. So the main point of the parable is that we can and must make ourselves the right kind of soil so that fruit can grow in our lives. Next question. There are blank types of blank in this parable that the seed fell upon. There are four types of soil in this parable that the seed fell upon. Or you could say four types of ground in this parable that the seed fell upon. Either one would be correct. But there are four types of soil in this parable. Some seed fell upon blank, some seed fell upon the blank ground, some seed fell among blank, and some seed fell upon blank ground. What goes in these blanks? Well, if you read the parables in the three accounts in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you'll find out that this goes in those blanks. Some seed fell upon the wayside. Some seed fell upon the stony ground. Some seed fell among thorns, and some seed fell upon good ground. So the things that go in these blanks are wayside, stony, thorns, and good. And as I pointed out at the beginning of this homework, this lesson primarily emphasized the wayside, or the path that the seed was sown upon. Okay? In other words, it was sown in this lesson we're talking about on extremely hard ground, like a path or a wayside or a road. That would be very hard, and the seed would what? Not penetrate. It would just lay on the surface.
That's the primary thing we're talking about in this lesson. True or false? God provides the good seed of the Word of God so we can bear good fruit. Is that true or false? Well, that's an easy question, isn't it? That's true. God truly provides good seed, the good seed of the Word of God, so we can bear good fruit. You know, sometimes if you sow seed in your garden and it's inferior or you've had it around for a few years, the fruit won't be that good that comes from that seed. But the point here being that God provides good seed. The Word of God is always good seed, isn't it? So that good seed is going to bear good fruit in a receptive heart. So that's true. He also provides good soil so the seed will bear fruit. Is that true or false? Well, does God provide good soil so the seed will bear fruit? No, he doesn't. God doesn't have any control over the soil. He only controls the seed, so that's false. Whether the soil is good or not is up to who? It's up to us, isn't it? That's the whole point of this parable again. So God provides good seed, and what it takes to bear good fruit is good soil. And that developing that good soil is up to us. Our attitude can have a lot to do with it, for example. If we have a bad attitude and don't receive the Word of God in faith, or we doubt it when we hear it, that is resisting God's Word, and that will be laying on the surface of our heart, and we're going to find out what happens to that kind of seed in just a moment. But God doesn't provide the soil. He provides the seed. We provide the soil, so that's false. What will happen if we harden our heart to the Word so our heart is like the hard wayside? What will happen? Well, what goes in that blank? Fill in the blank. What will happen if we harden our heart to the Word so our heart is like the hard wayside? Okay, here's what goes in that blank. The wicked one, Satan, will come along and steal that Word seed, and it will become useless to us for bearing fruit. That's kind of a long answer. And you wouldn't have to have it exactly in these words. Just make sure that it conveys this meaning. And I'll read it one more time. What goes in this blank? What will happen if we harden our heart to the Word so our heart is like the hard wayside? Here's what will happen. The wicked one, Satan, will come along and steal that Word seed, and it will become useless to us for bearing fruit. Why can he steal that seed? Because it's laying on a hard surface, like the wayside or a road. It's just laying there. We haven't received it into our hearts, so Satan can steal it. Okay, next question. True or false? This may be true, but it never happened to Jesus, because when the Word went forth from him, nothing could stop it from bearing fruit, because he was God, and he could make the seed that came from him bear fruit. Is this true or false? Well, this is false, folks. Even Jesus had problems with this. Jesus didn't have control over the people's heart either. And if you go back and read the Gospels, you'll find out that in some cases, the people did not receive what Jesus said into their heart. Even though the seed Jesus sowed, was it good seed? Yes, it was. It was the good seed of the Word of God. But even though it was perfect seed, it didn't always do the people that heard it any good. Do we have any evidence for this? Well, sure we do. How about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the rulers and all those people that gave him so much trouble and finally crucified him? They didn't receive what he said, did they? In fact, in some places it says they closed their ears. They didn't want to hear it. They held their hands over their ears. That gets pretty... What can God do with people that put their hands over their ears, either literally or figuratively? Not much. You know, if a person wants to refuse the Word of God, they can. And even Jesus can't prevent it. As a matter of fact, these people closed their ears and they finally crucified Jesus because they rejected his Word seed. Today, many also reject it. And where do they go? They go to hell, don't they? If you refuse the Word seed concerning salvation and don't act upon that Word seed concerning salvation, where do we go? We go to hell. Is it God's fault? No, it's not. He sowed the good seed, and he entrusted us Christians, with this good seed to tell others what they need to do to go to heaven and spend eternity with God forever. But if people don't act upon this, if they refuse to hear it, if they refuse to act on it, it won't do them any good, even though the seed is very good. Now, let's just read an account where I think brings this out very definitely. Turn to Mark 6 in your Bible, and let's look at a case where people refuse the good seed of the Word of God.
In Mark chapter 6, verse 1, it says, Jesus went out from thence and came unto his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. Okay? Now, what does it mean when he teaches? The word of God is going forth, isn't it? Good seed is going forth from Jesus. He began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? See, at first, they listened to what he said, and that word seed went forth, and they were becoming convicted. This was the word of God. But then all of a sudden, their minds started coming in verse 3, and it says, hey, is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And then they became offended at him. Why did they become offended? At first they were receiving it, weren't they? They thought about, wait a minute, this is a guy we grew up with. Don't get carried away here, guys. This is just the Jesus that was a carpenter's son. And Jesus said this unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and his own house. Jesus was saying here that they weren't receiving this because they knew him from his past life. And it's very difficult for a teacher or a pastor or anybody else to minister to his own family sometimes, because they look at him as the person he was, and he is that person still. But when the Holy Spirit moves within someone called of God, whether they're your brother or sister or whoever they might be, that can be a piece of the Word of God that's straight from God's heart for these people, whether it comes from your brother-in-law or whoever it might be. So, but these people were letting that enter into how they received what Jesus was saying. And listen to verse 5. This is the point of why I'm reading this. Talking about Jesus. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. In other words, if you look up in the Greek, the sick folk says people with minor ailments. He couldn't there do any mighty work. He didn't say he wouldn't. It didn't say that, well, Jesus was just a little bit angry with these people because he was treating them not like he should have been. He was treating them like the Jesus they used to know, and because of that, he wouldn't do any mighty work. No. Doesn't say that. It said he could not do any mighty work. And Jesus, verse 6 says, marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. So why did these people refuse the word of God? They refused to believe it. That seed of the good word that Jesus sowed was laying on the surface of their hearts. And as it lay there and they didn't take it in, what happened? Satan came and stole it. And it came in verse 3 when he put this thought in their minds. Hey, this is just the carpenter you grew up with. This is just the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph. Don't get caught up in what this guy is saying. He's just one of you. Don't believe this. And because he did this, that he stole that seed, and that unbelief prevented these people from receiving from Jesus. And what was Jesus' solution? He went around the villages teaching. He continued to teach because that word of God, he continued to sow that good word because he knew some would receive it, even though some refused it. So, back to our question now. Okay? I said this may be true, but it never happened to Jesus, because when the word of God went forth from him, nothing could stop it from bearing fruit, because he was God and he could make the seed that came forth from him bear fruit. That is false. He couldn't. He could there do no mighty work because of their unbelief. So that is false. Jesus was then, and still can be, limited in what he can do for us because of the blank of men. What limits Jesus in what he can do for us? What limits God in what he can do for us? Jesus was then, and still can be, limited in what he can do for us because of the unbelief of men. Unbelief goes in that blank. What was the main reason that the seed on the wayside did not sprout? Okay, we've read about this for a while. Now, just give me your taking on this, what you've read on these three accounts of the parable of the sower. And what is the main reason that the seed on the wayside or the hard ground did not sprout? Well, it did not sprout in the people's hearts because this reason. They didn't protect the word by receiving it into their heart so that the enemy was able to steal it. In other words, they left that seed sitting on the surface of their heart, thinking, I don't know about this. And when it lay there, that gave an opportunity for Satan to steal it from the surface of their heart, didn't it? Okay? So the main reason the seed on the wayside did not sprout was they did not protect the word by receiving it into their heart. And so the enemy was able to steal it. Next question, true or false? If the teacher of the word does his job right, the word seed will always sprout and grow. Well, you ought to know the answer to this by now from what we just said, and here it is. That is false. The teacher of the word can do his job right, just as Jesus did his job right when he preached the word to these people. So the word seed will not always sprout and grow, and that really, that's the point of this whole parable. That's why Jesus said there are four different types of soil, and we're talking mainly about the wayside soil in this lesson, but there are four different types of soil out there when you preach the word to people, okay? And so if the teacher of the word does his job right, the word seed will always sprout and grow? No, not always. Hopefully it will do it a high percentage of the time, but it won't always, and it's not in the teacher's power to make it sprout and grow. Why? The seed is always good, isn't it? If the teacher of the word does his job right, and that would be teaching the good seed of the word, it doesn't always sprout and grow because the soil is not always prepared properly for the seed. In other words, I'm driving this point home, the soil is the variable in this parable, not the word. The word is always good, but that word encounters, and Jesus summed it up this way, four different types of soil when that word goes forth. And we're talking mainly about the first type of soil, which is the wayside in this lesson. Next question. The word is like seed because it has blank, blank built in. What goes in these two blanks? The word is like seed because it has growth potential built into it. That's the wonderful thing about the Word of God. It is more than just words. It's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the Word of God tells us in Hebrews 4:12. Okay, so the Word of God is alive. Jesus said, my words are life. Okay, and so this is just like a regular seed has life and growth potential built into it, so too the Word of God is seed and it has growth potential built into it as well. What is the reason we plant seed? This should be pretty easy. The answer is because we want it to grow and ultimately what? Bear fruit. The reason we plant seed is number one, because we want it to grow, and number two, because once it has grown and matured, we want it to bear fruit. Name three kinds of word seed out of the many there are. Okay? And you know, just in your own, there's many, many in the Bible types of word seed. It's all part of the Word of God, okay, and that's all good. But what's some of the different types of word seed? Okay, name three. Well, how about healing seed? That's one type of seed, isn't it? The Word of God on healing, a topical teaching on the Word of God on healing would give you many scriptures dealing with healing, and all of them would be healing seed. How about prosperity, financial prosperity seed? Now, that's another type of seed, isn't it? How to prosper financially in your life. So you can be rich and never have to work again? No. So you can bless others with your financial prosperity, as well as provide for your own needs. Okay? What's another kind of word seed out of the many there are? How about salvation seed? When the teacher or the evangelist or the pastor preaches the Word of God on salvation, okay, tells everybody how to be saved, that you must believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and then confess with your mouth Jesus as your Lord, Romans 10:9-10, and you will be saved. That's word seed for salvation, so salvation seed. How about seed for how to receive peace in your life? You know, seed that for not worrying anymore. Jesus said that we're not to worry about tomorrow, but every day has enough in it by itself, and to not take care for the morrow, okay. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Okay, we're not to worry. So that tells you how to have peace in your life. There's word seed on directions on raising children. That's another kind of word seed. There's word seed for walking in love. There's word seed for how to have a good marriage. There's many different types of word seed in the Bible. And when we hear and take these individual seeds into our heart will bear fruit in our life in that particular area.
Okay, so it's not enough just to have salvation seed. That's really, folks, kind of tragic sometimes. I don't like to be critical, and I don't mean to here now, but I've been to some churches, and people get saved, and that's wonderful, and it's good, but that's all they ever hear is salvation teaching. Sunday after Sunday, the pastor teaches on the same thing, and these people don't grow. They have a great knowledge of salvation, but they're sick, they're poor, they're not prospering, they have marital problems, they don't know what to, their children aren't growing up right, and all because they're only hearing one type of seed, one type of word seed. Folks, we need to receive the full gospel so we can prosper and bear fruit in many areas in our lives, not just one area. Okay? Next question. True or false? Some of this seed may be planted in good soil, while other seed may be laying on the surface ripe for stealing. Now, we just talked about all these different kinds of word seed, and that's what I'm talking about here, these different types of seed. And I'm saying some of this, these different types of seed may be planted in good soil, while other seed may be laying on the surface ripe for stealing. Is this true or false? That is true, folks. You know, we may, if we hear something that conforms to our earlier teachings when we were children, maybe we'll receive that, maybe. But then we hear some new teaching, like on the baptism of the Holy Spirit or healing or something, and we go, whoa, wait a minute. That's a little different than my church teaches or my parents taught me to believe. And even though it's taught straight out of the Word of God, the preacher references the Bible over and over, people sometimes will refuse that seed simply because it does not fit their preconceived notion of about that particular topic. And so we can have some seed planted in good soil, things we agree with. We can have some seed maybe not on very good soil because we've resisted that seed and it's laying on the surface. And really, folks, it's up to us. What we need to do is to be teachable. If it is the Word of God and the teacher or you are rightly dividing it, then receive that seed. You know, if the Bible is very clear on a subject, and over throughout the Bible, it has a consistent teaching on a subject. We need to be teachable and receive that seed into our hearts so we can bear fruit in that area in our lives. If we don't, the fruit in that area will never mature, and it'll be stunted, and it will not have the blessing in our life that God wants for us to have. So, folks, we need to be teachable, don't we? If the Bible teaches something consistently throughout the Bible on a certain topic, even though it may go against what we learned as children and in our church, may not have taught it that way in the past, folks, be teachable and receive it into your heart if it is the Word of God so that you can bear fruit in these areas. Because really, God can't do anything with us if we refuse it and just let it lay on the surface or reject it completely. Okay, so we need to be teachable and receive the good seed of the Word of God into our heart in various areas. We need to ask ourselves the question, what does God's Word truly teach on this subject? Even if it goes against what some person we respect might say, they can be wrong. But the Word of God will never be wrong. And the Holy Spirit is our teacher. And if you'll listen closely and open your word, your heart to the Word of God, He will show you what's true and what's false. So don't just reject something out of your mind. Let your heart be the judge in this area, not your mind. Because sometimes your mind can be wrong. It can be based upon tradition, based upon past teachings, based upon a person's personality and charisma, but let your spirit decide whether the Word of God is true or not. That will never be wrong if you're a born-again Christian. Why? Because everything in your spirit is of God. That's what it tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and all things have become new, and all things are of God. Where? In our spirits, where we were born again. Trust that spirit man. Trust that inner witness. Even though your mind may not receive it, look down deep in your heart and see what your heart is telling you. That's your spirit. And our last question in this teaching is this. When is the time when your seed is most vulnerable and when it is easiest for the devil to steal it? We're talking about the word seed here. Let's say you've just heard the word on something, okay, and maybe a little bit new to us. When is the time when that seed is most vulnerable and when it is easiest for the devil to steal it? Okay, what goes in that blank? The time is most vulnerable, folks, and it's easiest for the devil to steal it is when you first hear the word in a certain area and you are deciding whether to believe and act upon it. Okay, so be careful.
Listen from your spirit, not your mind, okay? That's the place you need to, if it stirs in your spirit and it gives you a good feeling, and it's a, I've heard it put this way before, a light, velvety feeling in your spirit, then receive it as the Word of God. If you get a check or a stop or a red light in your spirit, then don't receive it. That's okay. But let your spirit decide rather than your mind, okay? Because your mind will refuse things just because it's not familiar with it. And folks, you can't be familiar with anything the first time you hear it, can you? So let your spirit decide. That's where God lives. That's where the Holy Spirit is. That's where the inner witness is in your life. And so let your spirit decide. So the time that your word seed is most vulnerable and when it's easiest for the devil to steal it is when you first hear the word in a certain area, like salvation or healing or something. Baptism in the Holy Spirit is another one. And then you're deciding whether to believe and act upon it. Listen to that inner voice in your spirit if you're a born-again Christian. It will never be wrong. And that then completes our homework for this lesson.